Chris, thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. So another week of wedded bliss under the boards. I hope everything is still going well. Chris got married during the off-season, so we appreciate Mrs. Horn sacrificing Mr. Horn every Wednesday night to come talk to us on the Tech Beat.
And it's still going great. She has no problem with it, actually. So
good.
That's good. Yeah.
Good. Well, we'll get her on one night. She can tell us the truth about your recruiting junkiness. And I'm hoping you'll join us. This is a good time to get in a plug. I forgot to get in earlier. Every year we go to the Hokie Club's basketball tip-off dinner. It's always a great event. I'm still getting particulars from Rick Curry, but I know the date is October 5th. I know it's a new location this year. It's somewhere on the West End, one of the hotels there, and I can't think of it right off the top of my head, but I'll have all the details for you next week. We're going to give away tickets to somebody who's never been before like we did. It's October 5th. It's coming up quick. Seth Greenberg and Beth Duncanberger will both be there. It's an absolutely outstanding event. They're two dynamic coaches, good speakers, and we set up shop there. And I keep waiting for you, Chris, to come out and join us live rather than on the phone. So I'm going to try to work on getting tickets for you and your wife if you can join us live.
That sounds great. Yeah.
All right. We'll talk more about that next week. I got to get all the details from Rick Curry about exactly where, because it is at a it was somewhere right up the road from the studio, one of the Southside hotels, and they moved it across the river. And I'll get all those details. But I know the date is definitely October 5th, so everyone mark their calendar. That's a fabulous night if you're a Hokie fan. Well, Chris, last week we got through 5 of the 9 commitments to date. I want to talk about a few more here, and then when we come back from the break, maybe talk about what the rest of the list may look like when it gets filled out, although they're off to a great start. I think we stopped with number 5, Daryl Robertson, last time, which takes us to number 6, Rashad Carmichael, who is a 5'9", 175-pound athlete from Brandywine, Maryland. I like the 40 time, 4.49. Now, the other athlete we talked about last week, Devin Radford of Fayetteville, also a fast guy. Where athlete means, for those not familiar with it, means he can play a lot of places. They're not sure what will be his collegiate position. Tell us about Rashad, Chris, and where do you anticipate him playing?
Well, the first thing I say whenever I talk about Rashad is how much fun I have in speaking with him. He seems like a very nice young man, and certainly appreciative of everything that he has received. And just has a great personality, which is something certainly that when you're recruiting some of these kids that tends sometimes to go overlooked, but is something that you definitely want to have on your team. And Rashad is, as you mentioned, his height and weight 5'9", 175 pounds. He plays for Gwynn Park High School, which is like you said, in Brandywine, Maryland. We were speaking last week about kids coming out of some of the top premier high school programs, and Gwynn Park certainly fits that bill in Maryland. And I guess to give you an idea, Rashad had 5 interceptions last year, but he didn't start for his team as a junior last season. But certainly with 5 interceptions, that shows you his talent. Cornerback is probably where he's going to end up, and that's where he's playing this year. I believe he's also going to get a shot at running back and possibly receiver in his high school. Running back for sure. I know he did have one carry last year, I believe it was for a 55-yard touchdown. So certainly a good average for him right there. But Rashad, I think once he gets to Virginia Tech, I think he's probably going to end up playing cornerback. He also mentioned that Virginia Tech had mentioned receiver, return man may also be there because obviously with 4.49 speed, and he's got a tremendous vertical leap. I believe it's 35 inches or something around there, maybe even a little bit higher than that, maybe closer to 40. So he's certainly got an excellent athleticism, athletic background to him. He was able to, a good story on him is that he actually was thinking about going to another summer camp, and he got his offer from Virginia Tech at their senior camp this summer. He had scheduled previously another camp to go to, but decided to give it a shot to go down to Virginia Tech. Tony Ball had mentioned to him that he really liked him a lot, and if he performed well, he could earn an offer, and he certainly did that, and it didn't take him very long after that. Maybe about a week just to go ahead and commit to Virginia Tech. So he definitely wants to be a Hokie, and Virginia Tech had a great chance to see him up close in camp and really likes what he brings to the table.
I'll tell you what, you mentioned that vertical leap, and that is impressive, and a lot of people can't get a grip on what that means. And when I tell them, when they ask me about it, is to get somebody, I tell them, get somebody to stand next to you holding up a yardstick, and then you jump up and try to get up to the top of that. That's 36 inches, and you're talking this kid goes 35 to 40. That's pretty darn impressive. I know I've got a vertical leap of about, an inch and a half, which is down from about 3 inches in my peak. But that's a good sign. You got to be strong. You got to be explosive. It's just a good general, no pun intended, yardstick for the kind of athletic ability he has. You just stand still and jump straight up in the air that high. That's pretty darn impressive.
Exactly. And when, as a cornerback, when he's going against some of those bigger receivers, that's just an excellent way to compensate for that, just to be able to out-jump him. And he's also got the speed, and he's obviously has a pretty good ability as a cornerback to be able to get 5 interceptions off the bench, actually, no less, last year. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do this year. My guess is probably that not too many teams are going to be throwing his way this year, just judging from what he did last year. But it certainly will be interesting. I know he's looking forward to playing on a regular basis, and that's just a testament to basically Gwynn Park High School, and it's got so much depth that a lot of guys really don't get exposure until their junior, senior years, and Rashad's definitely a case like that, and Rashad kind of made his own exposure as well, kind of checking out some summer camps and things like that.
I'll tell you, before you go on to the next guy, Chris, I want to remind the listeners that Chris, in addition to doing updates on the recruiting process, will do profiles on these young men. And then after they commit, be it to Virginia, which he also covers for the Sabre.com or Virginia Tech, he'll get in touch with them and do little updates, pretty good little stories, and they are available to TSL Pass subscribers, as I say, pretty much every week. That's on the TechBeat required reading list. You click on the TSL Pass logo on TechSideline.com, and it'll take you through the steps of signing up. It's a great bargain. I believe, I don't want to quote the prices, I don't have it in front of me. Chris, tell me if I'm wrong. It's $4.99 if you go monthly and $49.99 if you go for the year. And you not only get the recruiting updates, Will Stewart, the general manager and frequent guest on this show, does excellent analysis of every game. He goes to the game, then goes home and watches the tapes. And, you know, he leaves the game like a lot of us do with thoughts, and then when he analyzes the tape and comes up with conclusions and does a real good job, you get all that stuff. Lots of great columns and features in addition to all this great recruiting information. So be sure to click on that. It is on the TechBeat required reading list. There will be a quiz. Number 7, I love the name. Don't know much about him, but Nekos Brown, a linebacker from Waldorf, Maryland, 6'3", 225. You know, not as fast as the two athletes we just talked about, Chris, but 4.68 in the 40. That's pretty darn quick for a guy that size.
That is definitely pretty solid. And as a junior, actually, he played defensive tackle. So I think maybe heading into the whole recruiting process, many people may have felt that didn't know how fast he could run. So I believe he did post that 4.68 time at a Nike camp, in which he performed very well. And you mentioned Nekos is a linebacker prospect. That's where he's being recruited to play for Virginia Tech. He's very strong, and I think playing defensive tackle certainly helped him last year. But it also shows his strength that he was able to be successful as well. He had about 7 or 8 sacks last season as a junior at defensive tackle. And it also shows that he's a very team-oriented guy. He didn't mind moving to that position for his coach. And he's actually moving back to he is happy to be moving back this year to linebacker, but it shows that he is definitely willing to do whatever it takes. He made an unofficial visit to Virginia Tech over the summer. I was actually also looking at Virginia as well, and just decided to go ahead and commit to Virginia Tech. He loved his unofficial visit there, and is very solid in commitment to Virginia Tech. And Nekos is the third kid from Maryland to commit. We haven't talked about Andre Smith yet out of Germantown, Maryland, but Rashad, Nekos, and Andre, certainly three talented prospects to get out of the state of Maryland, and a good start in the state of Maryland for Virginia Tech.
The next guy on the list, number 8 on the recruit, was continued the brother trend. I know we know the Adebi brothers, Nathaniel now gone, Xavier still playing there. Lewis brothers from Verina High, Kevin, who has graduated and gone, Jonathan, who's in his 4th year. Jonathan had a great sack against Duke. He's been a very solid player for 4 years. Lots of luck with brothers, and here they go 3 deep with the Warrens. Tight end Don Warren, one of my favorite players with the Washington Redskins. Had linebacker Blake, who is a senior in the 2 deep. Linebacker Brett, who is a sophomore in the 2 deep and very, very well regarded. Now it turns out Bo, the youngest and the biggest, and according to Blake, the best of the Warren brothers. Bo goes 6'4", 250, and gets under 5 in his 40. He's at 4'9", and that's just mind-boggling. And, you know, Blake was telling me on Media Day, that which was the day that he committed, that, you know, he wonders what happened. He's been gone to school for 4 or 5 years now, and he goes home, and his little bitty brother that he used to go home and beat up now just knocks him all over the room. You imagine the Warren family with an all-pro tight end for a father and 3 football players for a brother. There's some horseplay and roughhousing going on. But they say this kid is you know, like I say, the last and the best, and that's got to mean something because the other two are pretty darn good.
That's right, and the other two have done very well for Virginia Tech. Comes from an excellent football family, and another one of those programs in Centerville. That's an outstanding high school program. And Bo, as you mentioned, 6'4". Talked to Coach Skinner. I believe Bo is actually somewhere around 260 right now. You mentioned he does have good athleticism as well. Runs under a 5.0 in the 40. And Coach Skinner, in talking to him, he really likes Bo. He thinks he's going to be an excellent, outstanding offensive lineman on the next level. He probably will end up redshirting his first year just in order to get a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger, a little bit more weight on him. But Bo seems like a really sharp player. He's rated a 3-star by myself and also by the recruiting services, Rivals.com and Scout.com. And just a very, very solid, very, very good prospect. And similar to his brother, just knows how to play football and has that great background. And just another very good addition for Virginia Tech, especially at offensive line, which is a pretty big need position for this year's recruiting class.
All right. Well, I tell you, it's interesting, and I know Frank always talks about the brothers. One brother's got to be having good experience if the other brother comes. And here you go, like I said earlier, three mm-hmm. deep. They even knew in the walk-ons, former Redskins, too. The Grimm brothers, Chad and Cody, are there. And like I say, it speaks real well if a brother is willing to follow where two of his brothers have gone. Something's got to be going right.
Yeah, I definitely say so. And Bo tried to take a little bit. He did commit during the summer, but he did check out some other schools, Syracuse, which has a number of Centerville recruits in their program. It was a school that he was looking at. North Carolina was another school that he was checking out as well. But Virginia Tech, obviously, I think he was so familiar with it and felt so comfortable, and I think that's pretty much what turned the table for him, just to go ahead and to make his commitment to them.
I don't know if we're saving the best for last, Chris, but Andre Smith is a 6'4", 235-pound tight end from Germantown, Maryland, with 4.7 speed in the 40. They're getting big guys who can move here.
Yeah, especially with the way that Virginia Tech emphasized the tight end, especially last year. Then they're in the obviously have landed Andre Smith, who's a kid who can run, he can catch, and he brings a lot of athleticism to the tight end position. Ed Wang, in his own right, is a excellent. Has excellent athleticism, and they're also seriously in the mix for another one of my favorites, Drew Gloucester out of Good Counsel, who's one of the top tight ends in the country. He's also looking at Miami, Maryland, Virginia Tech, and Florida and Georgia. But back to Andre, I guess. Andre, as you mentioned, he's out of Seneca Valley High School, committed to Virginia Tech during the summer and was the ninth to commit. And he certainly is a very, very talented prospect. Andre told me that he also had offers from Kansas, Marshall, and UVA, in addition to Virginia Tech. And Virginia Tech really liked him a lot. They offered him back in May, and he took an unofficial visit during the summer, really enjoyed his time there. And basically after that, it was basically just comparing other schools to Virginia Tech and decided to go ahead and commit. And speaking with his head coach, Fred Kim, Coach Kim had him last year for the first time. It was Coach Kim's first year. Coach Kim, while Virginia Tech really likes him as a tight end and as a defensive end, they like his ability on both sides of the ball. He really thinks that tight end is where Andre is kind of destined to be. He feels like he's got the total all-around package. As a testament to his athleticism, he's going to play some wide receiver this year also for Seneca Valley. So he's certainly one of those new kind of athletic tight end prospects that certainly gives defenses fits with his speed and with his hands, and he should be an exciting player to watch for Virginia Tech.
Germantown. Ike Whitaker, is he from Germantown? The freshman quarterback they have now, he's from somewhere in that area of Maryland.
I know he's from Northwest High School. I believe it is Germantown, Maryland.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm focusing on the Germantown on my paper, trying, you know, the mind, it's not quite clicking over the right index card. And then yeah, I think that's Ike Whitaker. Well, Chris, let me ask you one more thing about this class, and then I got another thing to lay on you before we're done here. The nine players thus far, good start for Virginia Tech, average start. Are they doing what they need to do? It's still fairly early in the game, but it seems like they've got a pretty good collection going already.
It's definitely a solid start. And Virginia Tech, in the past, obviously when they weren't last year's class for Virginia Tech was certainly rated one of the top classes in the country. But in terms of one of the top 20 classes in the country, but what Virginia Tech really did a great job, what they really built their program on was recruiting players that they knew fit their system. And I think so far they've done a great job getting players that they really like and they really feel that can fit their system. You look at a Rashard Carmichael, who Didn't have any other offers, but Virginia Tech really liked what they saw, so they liked him enough to go ahead and offer early. But at the same time, they did get some, they have received some very, very good players who are rated pretty highly, like in Darrell Robertson. Bo Warren is rated pretty highly. Mike G may be the most highly rated of the bunch. He's a defensive end out of Englewood, New Jersey. And Mike G fits that mold in terms of defensive ends that are athletic. Maybe not prototypical when you look towards possibly the NFL, but in terms of Virginia Tech system, fits it perfectly. Like I said last week, Dwight Freeney is his favorite player, and I think I think Virginia Tech has done a great job getting players that they know that they feel will fit their system, getting talented athletes as well. You look at Clark Crum as an offensive lineman, 6'7", 280, basketball player, really, really athletic, and in addition to Rashad and Devin. Rashad Carmichael, Devin Radford, and Jacob Sykes, that wide receiver, is extremely athletic and has 4, 5, 6 feet in the 40 at 6 foot, 180 pounds. So I think a very good start for Virginia Tech. They're really in the mix for a lot of great prospects, particularly along the offensive line and defensive end positions. And so I think they're in a really good shape to finish out this class. I think they'll probably take about 18 to 20 or so, something like that. But so far, so good, I think, for Virginia Tech.
I'll tell you, Chris, something we talked about last week that I want to go over a little bit more in detail today. I've got a story coming out in tomorrow's Times-Dispatch. And for the listeners who are not in our circulation area, but, you know, we hope everybody's getting the Times-Dispatch, wink, wink, you can go to timesdispatch.com and get this story. But I looked at the Virginia-laden roster. I mean, I knew Tech hit Virginia hard. I knew Tech had a lot of players from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But Dave Smith, the excellent SID out there, he and I counted up, and of the 115, including the walk-ons on the total roster, there's 89 from Virginia. But here's the real mind-boggling thing. There's 25 starters from Virginia. Now you're saying, wait a second, you can only put 24 out there at a time, including specialists. Well, you got situations like you got Nolan Burchett from Highland Springs and Chris Ellis from Hampton, who both have started at defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what combinations they use, you got Humes and Emo as your co-starters at tailback. Only one's going to start. But there's 25 guys who start either all the time or some of the time. And depending on which way they go, whether Clowney, David Clowney from Florida, has pulled ahead in one of the receiver slots, but Tech can start as many as 22 Virginians when you include the specialists. And that's just a mind-boggling number. But now this class, of the nine so far, only two are from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
With the story we ran, now no offense to the great Tech sideline rankings you do also on the Sabre, but I quoted Bobby Burton from Rivals because mm-hmm. we were looking at Virginia's talent in the national picture. So we ran the Rivals top 10 from Virginia, and of their top 10, only two kids had committed. Of course, I'm drawing a blank on the names, one kid to Oklahoma, one kid to Virginia, the kid from Deep Run. There's eight of the top 10, and I'm sure your list is very similar. A lot of uncommitted top talent. Virginia Tech is still very, very involved, and Virginia is still its primary recruiting area, correct? Beamer says that, but, I mean, is this the year they kind of go outside the state, or do they mix it up a little bit?
Well, that's correct. I think in looking at some cases, I still think Virginia Tech's in pretty good shape in-state. You look at Percy Harvin and Damon McDaniel from Lansdowne, the outstanding receivers. They seem to be pretty much really looking out of state right now, and Virginia Tech may be kind of hanging around with McDaniel. There's you and I talked about rumors last week about Harvin still looking at Virginia Tech, but basically until I see them taking an official visit to Virginia Tech, I'm pretty much believing that they're going to leave the state of Virginia. You mentioned Brandon Caleb, who has committed to Oklahoma, but you look at some other prospects, such as Brian Whitmore, who's a defensive end out of Coach Morgan's program out there, and Greg Bunatai, Oscar Smith. Thank you. Oscar Smith High School. Brian Whitmore is a very talented prospect. I have him in my top 10. Jarrell Miller out of Highland Springs, 6'3", 235-pound linebacker. Virginia Tech's in very good shape with him. Jarrell certainly is going to go through the process and take his official visits, but I think Virginia Tech has to feel good about their position, but at the same time, Virginia could be an interesting target. You look at Phoebus High School, they have Matt Wright, Brent Benson, two very, very talented prospects. Matt Wright is a linebacker. Brent Benson is a very talented athlete. Virginia Tech still in the mix for Meadowbrook's John Graves, who's an outstanding defensive end, 6'3", 240 pounds. I think Virginia leads for him right now. Virginia may be pretty tough to beat for him, but Virginia Tech is still in the mix. Virginia Tech is still very much alive with a good handful of very talented prospects in the state of Virginia. And I do think the state of Virginia is still the main state for Virginia Tech when they look at who they want to recruit and which players. I think the state of Virginia is definitely the place. They have done a good job since joining the ACC of trying to branch out into North Carolina and into South Carolina and even into Georgia, where they've been pretty successful with Sergio Render as well as Dorian Porch, and also New Jersey, so they're in Pennsylvania as well. So in addition to Maryland and Washington D.C., but while Virginia Tech's starting to branch out a little bit, I still think the state of Virginia is where they want to be, where they want to recruit. If they can, if they can get those top prospects, that's where they want to be. And I feel I didn't even mention Brandon Miner, who has set an official visit with Virginia Tech. So I think he's an outstanding running back out of Virginia. So I think the state of Virginia certainly will continue to be the focus for Virginia Tech. But at the same time, they are doing a good job of getting out to other states, especially since joining the ACC and having some success as well.
Well, it's interesting. I talked to Bobby Burton and to Tom Lemming, who is the recruiting analyst for CSTV and editor of the Prep Football Report, and mm-hmm. a different look on the national picture. Bobby Burton had a clear Big Six, and then the next six state in terms of talent, Virginia was right there. Lemming had a Big Three with Florida, Texas, and California, and said from there, Virginia is no worse than co-fourth. Mm-hmm. He said Ohio and Pennsylvania, the former hotbeds, used to be the big places. He said, the whole Rust Belt is getting older, so the talent is still very good, but not what it used to be. So they were very, very praiseworthy of the talent in Virginia and its diversity. It's, not like it's a state mm-hmm. for wide receivers or whatever. They said you can find a little bit of everything. And it was real interesting to see little old Virginia ranks clearly in everybody's top 10. But they also mentioned, Georgia, which, as you mm-hmm. mentioned, Tech got two kids out of Georgia that it just loved. Dorian Porch was considered for playing time, and I would dare say right here on this show, he's the Rover of the future. They love Sergio Render. They moved him to offensive line real early, and he was making the two deep. Unfortunately, had a little qualification issue, so he's going to wait till January to enroll to save his clock from starting. But I guarantee you, he'll be a factor before they're done. South Carolina and North Carolina are also very well regarded nationally, and Virginia Tech has kind of felt like it wasn't getting what it needed out of Florida, and with the ACC presence, it could go to the Carolinas and Georgia with some success, and that's what it's mm-hmm. doing. So I think they're in a hotbed of talent. I think they're taking advantage.
Well, in the state of Virginia, like you mentioned, I guess especially look to the where Virginia Tech has had a lot of success, and that's in the Tidewater region, which is probably one of the best areas. I've heard several recruiting analysts talk about that, and it's pretty easy to see that the Tidewater region produces some of the best talent out there, and Virginia Tech's got several prospects. Obviously, Jimmy Williams came from out of Tidewater, and Marcus Vick as well, and then you look towards Northern Virginia, where Virginia Tech has had some success, such as Eddie Royal and Mike Emo. So the state of Virginia certainly is very rich talent-wise. Typically, it's very good. This year, obviously, at the top, it's got some great prospects, but it can be great, as it was in the 2002 class. But typically, it's just very good, very solid, and I agree. I think you can get a little bit of everything from the state of Virginia. It's not really just speed guys or something like that. It's really just a good mix.
All right, well, Chris, that wraps up another TechSideline.com recruiting report. When we have you on next Tuesday, we'll take a look at what that other Division I school in the state. I know this is the Tech beat, but Virginia recruiting just as well, and there's some Tech fans interested in what the Wahoos are doing. We'll take a quick look at their class, not in much detail, and then look at what some of the state battles that are shaping up. That's one of the things I touch about in my story tomorrow, that particularly in the western part of the state, used to be all Virginia Tech, but Al Groh and his staff have done an excellent job of creating some interesting battles. So we'll save that for next week. And, Chris, we appreciate your time this week.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Chris Horn, the outstanding recruiting analyst for Analyst 4, TechSideline.com and TheSaber.com. Make sure you can read his stuff on both websites. TSL Pass subscribers, don't miss that because you get recruiting analysis and more.